next speaker will be Russell Stanners, Chief Executive of Vodafone. He's been Chief Executive since April 2005. Before Vodafone, Russell enjoyed a successful career in global information technology industry, where he's Managing Director of Unisys New Zealand Limited for 2 years. And a fact that I wasn't aware of, but it's certainly a great achievement. He led them to being the subsidiary of the year within Unisys Corporation in the first year. I ask you to give a warm welcome to Russell Stanners. In New Zealand, Because just like when we first started the journey in mobility, voice was a fixed phenomenon. Now mobility and voice is a mobile phenomenon. When we look at broadband, why wouldn't we expect the same things to happen? These trends are shaping not only our view of the industry, but the total industry. So when you look at places like China, India, the rapid growth going on there, big parts of Africa, there's fundamentally different views being held by everyone in terms of what the future of the industry is going to be. So if we think about, you know, how we're doing here today and how we're serving our customers, you know, we've had a very good year last year. And I think that year is a year where we basically went out and we said, well, we need to deliver more and more value to our customers. We started the year by going out and delivering great value to our prepaid customers with Best Mates and with mobile Best Mates. We tuned up the tariffs and on account. We drove down the prices there. We went into the broadband market for the first time with a very aggressive offer of 12 months free broadband. We thank all the customers who rewarded us by bringing their business to Vodafone. Went into the business toll market and started to explore how we could put offerings into that marketplace, and that was well received. And just recently, for the first time in New Zealand, we now have an alternative to free local calling, an alternative which allows you to pay a subscription like you do for your free local calling today in the fixed world, but have it delivered in the mobile world with just the same tariffs and conditions that you expect in the fixed world. The difference being that the free local calling now includes free national calling. And so I think competition is really alive and well, and for us, one of the things that we continue to do is to drive value out to our businesses, because when we look at our consumers, our businesses and consumers, they always say the one thing that'll get them to change, believe it or not, is better prices. That's the key driver for a lot of change in our industry at the moment, which we're taking forward and delivering out there. The good news, as Ernie mentioned, is that that allowed us to drive the pricing in the OECD rankings up in the top half last year. That was a goal we had to do by 2010. We achieved it at the end of last year. So in the mobile sector, then we are looking to deliver against the commitments we've made to the government about competition, about delivering better value and better offerings out there in the marketplace. And there's a whole swaggering we done last year, and you expect a whole lot more going forward. So at the moment, it's a place where we're driving out more and more deals to meet more and more different needs across the total telecommunications environment. Thank you. If I look at the industry going forward, you know, there's always significant change happening in our business. And the way we like to look at it is in sort of four quadrants. You know, we look at it from a regulatory perspective. As Ernie said, it's been a time where, you know, that everything's been reset in the last few years. And as we sit here as an industry, you know, we've got a lot of hope and excitement about how we can take those changes and build a more competitive marketplace, build a marketplace that delivers more of everything to everyone out there. And we're delighted about where we are today. We expect that to continue. You know, some of the announcements by the national government and potentially by the Labor government will just continue to bring regulation forward. It's just a part of our industry. We have to work with it, to live with it, to sponsor it, and to help shape it. If we look at the technology point of view, you know, very interesting for us, you know, we see today many more networks in the marketplace, small ones, large ones. Here today we have two mobile networks, with a third one being built right now. We have people on our networks wholesaling it. And as you heard, Alan wholesaling on Telecom's network. So there's a whole lot of competition at network level that's changing things. When you look at the competition factor, yeah, you're seeing a lot of different moves across the market, but that's what you'd expect when it's what the government aspired to do by making interventions, so it's all starting to come together and we're seeing a lot of movement there. Perhaps the interesting thing when we look at the trends is that we look closely at our customers and, you know, they are continuing to tell us they want more value. Pleasing for us, they do value mobility, that's something that they value and they keep on saying they'd like more of it. But what we're seeing right now is the emergence of a new communications trend. And this is a social networking phenomenon. Now, how many people out there do some form of Facebook, Bebo, stuff like that? Yeah? Interesting. At your core, what are you doing? We thought about this long and hard. You know, what you're doing is communicating. Now, what sort of business are we, and indeed our peers in the industry, we're communications companies. What does that trend really mean as it evolves globally and locally for our businesses? What it probably means is that, you know, we had an industry of voice, an industry of text, web browsing, you know, we got this whole social networking thing happening, and I'll come back to that as one of the fundamental drivers going forward in our industry and what's changing the view of health future as we go forward. So when we think about those changes, and we put them in the category of being, you know, significant, but business as usual, that those changes have been happening in our marketplace and other marketplaces around. one change which we think is more fundamental is the rise of the mobile internet. Now, why is this fundamental? Well, what we're seeing is a coming together of some of these mega trends and making available a new world that we all need to live in. Now, when you think about internet, you know, the basic premise is if you got on your home, why wouldn't you want to have it wherever you are? Now, there's been a lot of reasons why you couldn't have. First of all, you didn't have devices that you thought you could use for the mobile internet. Now, with devices like the Apple iPhone, that's changed, and changing rapidly. We think about broadband speeds, and I've touched on before. They're coming to wireless networks in ways that really unleash it. And then if we look at our industry, then we're not alone. You know, the competitors and the partners that we see in the future are none other than the Googles, the Facebooks, the Microsoft MSNs, Yahoo. What are they seeing? They're seeing that first chart that I put up. They're seeing the fact that they've got 1.3 billion total number of PCs in the internet universe today. They see the extra, what is it, 2.23 billion mobile users out there, and they see the changes in the technology and the platforms, and saying, well, there are the next couple of billion eyeballs, and they're growing rapidly. This is why you're seeing Google enter into the race with their own operating systems. They're driving out things like the world maps and the mapping concepts, because they also believe that the internet is going to go from a fixed phenomenon to a mobile phenomenon. So for us, when we see what we're seeing out there already in our world, you know, this phenomenal uptake of people using mobile phones to surf the internet. And we have over 1.5 million guys signed up for mobile internet around our footprint in about 3 or 4 months. We have huge number of users using YouTube and downloading videos. We have a huge number of people doing Google searches through our mobile interface. This is a new world which is fundamentally going to change our business. It's going to change it because when you look at the business models in the internet world, they're very different from ours. In the telco world, we have subscription. We don't necessarily put advertisements out to all of you for in return for service. You look at the Google world, the internet world, it's free, but someone pays. And the people who pay are the advertisers putting ads out to consumers. And guess what? Our research says that consumers are very willing to get free anything 10 for watching advertisements. 79% of all New Zealand customers, we survey, think that's quite a good idea if it's done responsibly. So this is one of these fundamental shifts. And our chief executive, Arun Sarin, addressed the CTIA conference, the World Mobile Conference in the US, and said, this is a shift which we as a business need to master and master well, otherwise those who don't will not be here in 3 to 5 years. So I want to share that with you because when we think about the evolution of our industry, we don't necessarily think about it in ways to do with technology or to do with the current structure of the industry today. We think about the future in a different way, and it's a way that's a mobile internet way. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're learning when we talk in that area. Well, this social networking is not just the kids doing it. As the chart says there, 24% of the users we're seeing are between the age of 25 and 64. Now that's all of us. And now you put your hands up, there's probably about 25% in this room. So that phenomenon is rapidly driving it out there. When you think about, is it relative to consumers? Well, the Apple iPhone has been a phenomenon in our industry. It's come through, there's more than 10 million users, or 4 million users out there today. It has really raised the game on the user interface. And they're rapidly working on business variations of that, which will change your fundamental view of how you want to surf the internet and the way you want to do it. And when we think about the developing world, those big countries aren't rolling out fixed infrastructure. There are many of our trading partners, there are going to be many of our production houses, there are going to be people that we do business with each and every day. They're doing it in a mobile context. And indeed, some of the fundamental bases of economies is changing. Globally, we see a huge opportunity in what we call the unbanked market. And you go to a place like Kenya, and you find that banks don't go very far out into the communities out there. They're just not there. But mobile phones do. So we've launched an offering out there which allows you to do your basic banking by the mobile phone. And that's taken off significantly, and that's going to roll around the world. When you think about how money exchanges itself around the world, there are the traditional ways, and with these developments you'll see it change significantly going forward. So there's dynamics happening here and trends that really do change nature of what we think is our industry. It's a very different future than the one we're looking at today from our perspective. sort of some of the things that we need to get right going forward to make this happen? Well, you know, if we're going to get you on the mobile internet, we need to make sure that interface is a great interface. Again, thank you, Apple. Thank you very much, Apple, for two reasons. What a wonderful interface. Good on you, Apple. Talk to no consumers and invent it themselves. Awesome. Steve Jobs at his best went out there and took a new standard for all of us to look at. Now, the interesting thing about that is when you talk to Nokia, Samsung, all the other vendors, and they're very big players, they're not going to just watch. So you can expect an iPhone-type interface from every mobile device going forward. That will change your user behaviors as users out there and your thoughts of what the internet is. Now we have one of our guys who is a serious user of fixed internet at home. He's now a very serious user of fixed internet at home, but sitting using the iPhone through Wi-Fi to talk to that fixed infrastructure. Very interesting. But you need usability and simplicity. Now, it's not easy to use the internet, even in a fixed world. So the whole intuitive nature of mobile phones, we have blend that environment with the internet and create a new experience out there that will drive things forward. When we think about what's happening, Google tells us they've seen 50 times the use of data through the Apple iPhone interface. Wow, that's interesting. It is proving that if you change the interface, you can get a significant change in consumers' behaviors. When you think about the networks, now the first thing I'd say is that we're not competing with the speed of light. Fiber is the fastest technology. Love to have it in every home in New Zealand. Fantastic. When you think about where we're at every day, and there's some exciting things happening in the wireless networks. Here in New Zealand, we're at 3.6 megabits a second. That's sort of on the left there. Announced plans say that we can drive that to 7.2 megabits a second this year, if we want to. Can drive it to 14, or 10, or 28 in the next 2 years, up to 41, and then start to move into a generation of technology which is upgradable inside of the current network to do 50 to 100 megabits a second. Indeed, I saw that NTT just concluded a trial with Nokia in Japan where they're doing 250 megabits a second. So what does this all mean? It means that we should have expectations of broadband to us as personal users anywhere, anytime. Indeed, my prediction is that there may be up to 1.8 million fixed broadband users in New Zealand, because that's the number of fixed lines out there. There will definitely be 4 million plus mobile broadband users in the next 3 to 5 years. Absolutely will happen. Why will it happen? Because the devices and the networks and the demand for these types of services is there, and it will happen. And the other thing we know, when we think about what people will pay for broadband, is that you will expect to get more for less. So what that means is there isn't a scenario out there where people will pay $50, $100 for high-speed broadband. And we're looking at this to say our average consumer spends $20 a month. So we need to deliver this for an incremental of $5 maybe, or $10, if we can figure it out. That's the paradigm we need to deliver to the market. But it's not these views of we can do it for $100 a month. That's way beyond the means of most of our customers. So when they want broadband, they're talking more marginal costs to improve their utility and their benefit in accessing the internet and delivering services in ways they've never done before. So these technologies are real. I put them up here just to get them in the debate so we all start to think it's not just about fiber. There's the rest of us out there who aren't standing in front of a fixed terminal. The want broadband experiences, and the good news is that after a long time waiting, because 3G took a long time to start off, these roadmaps are very, very real. They're there, you can touch them, they are going to deliver. Because the industry sees the opportunity in the mobile internet from a vendor perspective and from an operating perspective. And what about the intelligence of the network? Well, that's happening too. I'm not an expert. Better than that, but we have today an all-IP core in New Zealand. We have a next-generation network sitting there. You heard Ernie talk about it. We announced some of our first offerings off the back of it, which had to do with the convergence of the fixed and the mobile device, so you can bring together the networks and IP core. Our vision of the future is one core network with both fixed and mobile access. Mobile access fixed access via whichever is the most cost-effective means available to us, be that copper, be that fiber, be that wireless to the last mile. It doesn't really matter, because I 100% agree with Alan. Your customers buy services, they don't buy technology. So speeds is good, fantastic, we need lots of it, more of it. What they buy at the end of the day is things that deliver them real benefits. What about the business model? You mentioned this phenomenon about the telco world here and the mobile, the fixed world over here. Very different business models. So when you look at our industry from a Google perspective, you do not see anything that we see. What you see is lots more eyeballs, lots more opportunities to cannibalize an existing industry to drive ad revenue. That's the business model. So when you think about this coming together as a mobile internet, then think about what happens to the business models. They start to collide and change dramatically. First thing is the value chain is split up between many, many players. Be it ourselves, be it our fixed operators, be it the content providers, the handset providers, it all starts to change. Now Nokia have announced Ovi, which is their version, if you like, of iTunes. And they're directly going to customers to say for so much a month, you can have unlimited music. When you look at Google with the Android and the Google phone, another example of the industry starting to change. The Apple iPhone, the agreement's done with that. It's changing the way that we deliver services. So over time, you're going to see lots of partnerships with lots of different people. And the demarcations we commonly talk about today are going to disappear. Now, what is Vodafone? Are we a mobile company? Are we a mobile company and something else? Where are we going? What's our future? That's all going to change rapidly as these two industries come together, facilitated by technology, but then changed by the nature of how the business models work. In the UK, there's a company called Blink, or BLKY. Now, their proposition is they provide free mobile services to selected customers they select in return for them watching advertisements. Pretty cool model. 100,000 customers they've got. That's pretty cool. And when you work out the economics, there's quite a lot of ads you gotta watch to get your free service. But people love it. So why not do it? think I've seen a lot more of those things happen in the marketplace going forward as everyone tries to figure out where's our place, what value can we create, you know, who's our partners, who's our competitors, what are we going to do, how can we actually find real value to deliver to our end users out there. So it's an exciting time because we just don't know how to do this. It's new. You know, we've lived in a different world. It's something we have to learn how to do, and learn how to do real fast here and around the world. So finally, if we think about where Vodafone sees the future, then we have an aspiration to deliver to all of you your total telecommunications services. We're challenged by figuring out exactly what that means, because it's changing very, very rapidly with the advent of social networking and with the whole internet going mobile. What we do know is we look at our business and fundamental building blocks, you know, we are a mobile business. We've done well in that. We need over time to become a mobile business, a broadband business, and an internet business. And the way we'll do that is by clearly always understanding that we're a communications company. It's pretty obvious, but often not that obvious when you start to think of social networking and what is that and how do you participate in that phenomenon. By making the mobile internet, you know, intuitive and easy to use and available, you know, by investing and understanding new business models and what we're going to do. So there's a lot of things we need to bring together which are wildly different than building networks. Wildly different. It's a whole new world for us out there and one which we need to embrace. I mean, to transform our business over the next 3 to 5 years. Because if we don't transform our business, then we'll be left behind. And the people addressing you in 2015, I don't think will be the big five guys. They'll be the big Google cash, MSN cash, Yahoo cash. Thank you very much.